Hello there, it's Hannah G here from the Hemsby Life Group. I'm going to bring you some thoughts on this week's passages, which are Luke 11, verse 37 to 54, and Micah 6, verse 6 to 8. And thanks to others from the group for doing the readings and prayers.
So this is from Luke chapter 11 and verse 37. So when Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but in the inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all the other kinds of garden herbs, but neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and the respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without ever knowing." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us." But Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves lift not a finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it is your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets and build their tombs. And because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom you will kill and others persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to the experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to the knowledge, and you yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those that were entering." And when Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something that he might say.
Have you ever hosted a meal or an event which started badly? I once organised a conference at work, one of the most stressful things I've ever done. And just before the 150 delegates came to have their lunch, one of the serving tables holding the delicious curry collapsed. I realised we would only have enough food for half the people there. Queue, panicked, cleaning up litres of curry sauce from the floor and desperate calls to bring in food from elsewhere on campus. It was a complete nightmare. Or perhaps you've had people round for dinner and someone says something cringe-worthily embarrassing. In today's passage, the meal gets off to an awkward start when Jesus neglects to ritually wash himself before eating. This must have caused some looks between the guests. The atmosphere quickly sours when Jesus announces to the gathered Pharisees and scribes that they are all fools. I doubt the Pharisee was expecting this insult from his guest when he invited him in for some sociable conversation around the dinner table. It seems that Jesus deliberately skipped the ritualized washing before the meal to make a point. This wasn't really washing for hygiene purposes. It was more of a specific ritual outlined in Jewish rules to remove contact with the sinful world. It involved specific quantities of water with a particular routine. Jesus used this as an opportunity to highlight how the Pharisees focused on the outward rituals to make themselves clean. In verse 39 he says, "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." And Jesus doesn't hold back. He doesn't play the polite guest. He holds no punches. Instead, he speaks his mind loud and clear, calling out his fellow diners as hypocrites. He goes on to say, "Woe to you," 6 times, giving 6 examples of how the behaviour of the religious leaders makes him so upset. He astonishes the people there, who can't quite believe what they are hearing. One of the scribes says to him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." As someone who tries to avoid confrontation and keep people happy, I find this passage really hard to read. This is not the meek and mild Sunday school Jesus. I also find it hard to read because it makes me look inwards, critically assessing whether I would be one of the Pharisees around the table. Would Jesus say these things to me? So why did Jesus speak so frankly at this event? I get the feeling Jesus is exasperated with the Pharisees. These people held positions of power in Jewish society, both politically and religiously, but yet they weren't using their position of power to further God's kingdom. They had become obsessed with following the little details of the law, and in so doing, they missed the bigger picture of God's heart for love and justice. In verse 42, Jesus gives an example of how they count individual stems of herbs to make sure they give 10% of the herbs to God, but that they neglect justice and the love of God. Jesus isn't saying that counting herbs is wrong. He's just saying it's not really that important in the bigger picture. I wonder what consumes our attention when God is waving at us frantically to notice something far more important which he would love to work for us. He would love for us to work with him on. What are we spending our time on? Is it something which brings justice and shows God's love? Or is it just like counting stems of herbs? Not wrong in itself, just a wasted opportunity to do something more worthwhile. In verse 43, Jesus laments that the Pharisees love to get the best seats in the synagogue and want to receive grand greetings in the marketplace. They are motivated by pride and outward appearances rather than having a humble heart and a servant attitude. In verse 46, Jesus gets heavy with the experts of the law, telling them they've made the rules so complicated and hard to follow that an ordinary man or woman isn't sure what they should and shouldn't do. They're so weighed down with rules and rituals, and they don't get any help from the leaders. In verse 52, he goes further, saying they've taken away the key to knowledge of God from the people who look to them for leadership. Jesus was essentially saying the whole way of life was not pleasing to God, and in fact made it harder for everyone else to get to know God as well. What an indictment! It's not surprising that when Jesus left, the Pharisees and teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and start looking for opportunities to catch him out. Jesus was challenging their whole worldview, shining a light on the hollow sham of their religion. I wonder who are the equivalent to Pharisees in our modern times. Who is quick to notice mistakes in others but cover up their own? Who is motivated by power and prestige rather than bringing opportunity to people that lack it? Who likes to focus on small details to divert attention from the issues that really matter? I'm not going to name names, but I expect we can all think of someone or a group of people. And if we're really honest, we probably do these things as well. So how can we make sure we don't trip into the same pitfalls as the Pharisees did? Let's turn to the Old Testament, the wonderful book of Micah. Micah was a prophet around the same time as Isaiah and Hosea, around 700 years before Christ was born. His message from God was to God's people, saying that God hates corruption, injustice, and empty ritualism. So he had the same criticisms as Jesus did in the Luke 11 passage we've just looked at. In Micah 6, verse 6 to 8, we hear that God doesn't want offerings or sacrifices. What he requires of us is to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God.
Micah 6, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
So, instead of focusing on trivial details which are of little consequence, we should ask God how we can seek his justice in the world around us. Instead of having a prideful attitude, sitting in the best seats, we should cultivate a humble lifestyle. Instead of wanting to trip others up and noticing all their mistakes, we should have a merciful attitude and extend them grace. How can we act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly day to day? I found these useful questions for self-examination on a blog based on Micah 6 verse 8, which I will finish with. Spend some time thinking about these questions. Allow God's Spirit to convict you and nudge you. I pray that God will help us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. Here are some questions to think if you've acted justly. Do I owe anyone anything? Have I cheated on any taxes or finances? Do I tell the truth? Do I need to confess and turn around from anything wrong? Am I living by God's morals each day? Some questions to think if you love mercy. Am I kind to others when I have the opportunity to be? Do I put others' needs before my own? When God blesses me, do I overflow that blessing to others? Do I give my time, money, ideas when it's inconvenient for me? Do I give with a spirit of love or of obligation? Some questions to think if you walk humbly. Do I make decisions based on how they will benefit me or God's kingdom? Do I need to take credit for things I have done? Do I rush to self-promote on social media? Do I feel I deserve recognition for what I have done? Do I rely on the things I do to make me feel worthy?
Give us, Lord, an eye for injustice, for it is only when we are able to recognize injustice and feel its awful sting that we will be moved to make things right. Give us, Lord, a tender heart. Sometimes we are too hard-hearted to recognize when we have been uncaring, unfeeling, or unkind. Grant us, Lord, the ability to view life from the dust. All our lives we have been taught to make others proud, to be proud of ourselves, to hold our heads high, all the while missing the virtues of being poor in spirit. Teach us, dear Lord, to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. Amen.